what's going to be resurrected is a body that is made to be burned in the lake of fire forever.
I have two books at my bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snakes, Doc! I hate them!
And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled, you want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon.
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Yippee-ki-yay! Coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting compound. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online and I'm live with you today. The talk show that hell hates. And Jesse Duplantis does not listen to this program. I almost guarantee you he does not listen, except maybe somebody who's listening will send him the link to today's program so that he can hear, or his team of legal advisors can listen and hear what God says about and to Jesse Duplantis. Do you know who I'm talking about? It's this guy here. He is the multi-millionaire friend of Kenneth Copeland, friend of Creflo Dollar, friend of, Kenneth Hagin, who's now in the underworld probably somewhere. I said it. Kenneth Hagin getting what he, receiving what he sowed in this world, which was a drunken spirit, witchcraft, the spirit of a serpent, is what was in Kenneth Hagin. I am not sorry that I said that. I will not apologize. I will not correct this. I will not come back later and say, I shouldn't have used that kind of language concerning an obvious man of God. That will never happen. These guys, they are absolutely toxic televangelists. I'm going to open a can of King James up on these guys. By the way, good to be with you today. I appreciate your forbearance with me last week. I was in the middle of Pastor Mike Online last Tuesday, got the phone call that I half expected would come that day from Sister Linda here in our church. Her mother had just passed, and she called to notify me. I immediately stopped the program. Local Bethel people here, they know of their pastor that they always come first. And I'm not trying to diminish in any way those of you wonderful people outside of the little box that we come into every Sunday, because I do consider you as much a part of this church as, but these people are here every Sunday. They're with us, and I am their pastor. And so I had to go and tend to that. And we had the funeral. I just had a little power outage. Did you see that? And I temporarily lost a monitor. There it comes back. That was weird. Anyway, we did the funeral Thursday, and God blessed. God gave me a message about this dear saint Her children shall rise up and call her blessed. And that was Psalm 31 or Proverbs 31. And Linda told me that her mother, 92 years old, would refuse. She had been without eyesight for years, 20 some odd years. And she refused to go to bed or go to sleep at night until she had audiobooks that people would buy her, and she could listen to various books and so on being read. But she would never listen to any of those until she listened to at least 30 minutes of the Word of God every night. Alexander Scorby reading the King James Bible. And that's how she ended her day. And then after that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And oh, come on, Windows, really? Windows is wanting to do an update on my computer right now. You're insane. Excuse me while I pick a more convenient time. Like 1 a.m. Good. I'm not happy with Windows, I'll tell you that. Anyway, that was just her life. Listening to faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And she would listen to the Word of God every night, 30 minutes at least every night, read to her. That's the sign, or a sign, that you are a child of God. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And God bless her. She is at home in heaven. And so I appreciate everybody's just letting me be the pastor last week for my people. Anyway, you're here and I'm here now. And Jesse Duplantis needs God's help. He really does need God's help. He is from Destrehan. Where is that? I think that might be Louisiana, somewhere around in there. He's got a big mouth. I'm not kidding you. It's like his mouth is like this big. And he's a big clown, friends of Kenneth Copeland. And he needs God. He needs God to give him a $54 million jet. I'm not making this up. Jesse Duplantis, the Destrehan-based prosperity gospel televangelist with a global reach, is asking disciples for money to buy a jet that costs $54 million. Quote, so we can go anywhere in the world in one stop, unquote. He seeks the donations in a video posted last week and on his ministry's website. Quote, I really believe that if the Lord Jesus Christ was physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey. You're an idiot. The guy's an idiot. The guy is a liar. He is bearing false witness against his neighbor. He's bearing a false witness. He said that if Jesus were on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey. Excuse me, reprobate Duplantis. Jesus was on the earth 33 years he spent in sandals or bare feet, and he walked, and he rode a donkey by choice. By choice. When he comes again, Mr. Duplantis, he will be riding a white horse, not riding in a white jet, you idiot. Yes, send him the link to today's program, because I'm going to break out a can of King James on this guy. You need to understand who these clowns are. I really believe that if the Lord Jesus Christ was physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey, Duplantis says in the video. He'd be in an airplane flying all over the world. He says his 40-year-old Jesse Duplantis Ministries has paid cash for 3 private jets and been just burning, quote, just burning them up for the Lord Jesus Christ, unquote. The most recent purchase was in 2006, he said. He's already got them. He's already got jets, private jets. Now he has his sights set on a Dassault, D-A-S-S-A-U-L-T, Assault, Falcon 7X, a 3-engine jet with a range of 5,900 nautical miles. Its customizable cabins accommodate 12 to 16 passengers. A 2017 write-up on SherpaReport.com, a website focused on private aviation, said the list price for a new Falcon 7X was 54 big ones. First Peter. After Peter says, let's see here. After Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Then, you know what? I'm in the wrong place. It's 2 Peter. So let me start again. After Peter says, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter starts out by saying, verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, quote, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, unquote. I love that. That is one of my favorite expressions, favorite things in the Bible of God saying out loud, this is my beloved Son in whom I, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. And verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. He's referring to Matthew 17, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. Three of those guys are identical. One's different. One's different. It's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic. John's different. Okay? Bila, Zilla, Leah, and Rachel. Three of them are just women. Rachel's the true love. Okay? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Son of God. Three of them are the same. One's different. I love this. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Adenine, guanine, cytosine are present in RNA, which is single strand. Thymine's different. Thymine is never seen in RNA. It's another compound called uracil. When the RNA becomes double-stranded, uracil is taken out, and thymine comes in, steps in its place. Boy, that's pretty. Anyway, so he's referring to Matthew 17 and the transfiguration. Verse 19, Peter's saying, I heard that voice. I heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son. But he said, there's something better than that. Because, number one, Peter could be lying through his teeth, which he's not, but he could be. Nobody else. I mean, I didn't hear that. I did not hear God's voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I never heard that. So I have actually something better. I want you to grasp that, people. I mean, these guys go around talking about how they heard God's voice. God spoke to them. God said, and they're like boasting, like because they're so spiritual, they're more spiritual than everybody else because God speaks to them directly. When Peter downplayed that and he said, we have something better than that. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as into a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he establishes the written record of the 66 books of the Bible as being better than hearing God's voice. You have, I mean, think about it. Moses heard God's voice. Abraham heard God's voice. Adam heard God's voice. Who else? We have people all through the Old Testament who heard the voice of God. And in all of that, we are told that we have something that's more sure than what they had, a more sure word of prophecy, which is the Bible, the Word of God, the written record of God's Word. Now, for those who would say, well, I believe that no Bible today is perfect, that's not true. It's not true. It's more sure than hearing God's voice directly, which Duplantis and Copeland and all these other idiots, they say that God speaks to them directly. Yeah, God told Kenneth Copeland that, and Copeland said that, you look this up. Copeland said that God spoke to him about, God said, son, get this down your heart. A twice born man was on the cross. And Copeland said, God, you don't mean that I, as a twice born man, could die. And Copeland said that he, as a twice born man, could die on the cross for people's sins. Idiot. Don't fall for this stuff, people. You have something better. You have a more sure word of prophecy. Better than all of these people hearing God's voice. You have the written record of everything that God said. And it's more sure than what Abraham, Moses, Adam, Elijah, Paul, Peter, James, John, better than what they had, because each one of them prophesied in part. And Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 13, for now we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And what we have now, if we believe that our Bible is perfect, which it is, then that which is in part is done away. We don't, all of you guys and ladies out there who say that God is speaking to you directly and God has given you dreams and visions and God is telling you things outright, and I hate to bust your bubble, but we don't need you anymore. That job has already been, that position has already been filled by our Bible. So you go ahead and tell everybody how God speaks to you directly, and God says this, and God told me this. You wrote it in your Facebook post. God said, this is thus saith the Lord, and you write out some big long thing that you say God spoke to. I'm sorry, but there is no need for you anymore. We have a Bible. You dreamer of dreams and you people that have visions. Oh, God gave me a vision. I met a guy in Birmingham, Alabama at the Club O Prophecy meeting. And before the meeting, he went around the whole room bragging to everybody. God gave me a vision of 9/11 before it ever happened. God showed me 9/11 before it ever happened. He went around the whole room telling everybody. And the Holy Ghost is like, you know, Mike, take a look at this guy. And I caught that. He's going around trying to bring disciples to himself. He wants everybody to think he's some big hot snot. And I'm thinking, if you had a vision of 9/11, where were you on 9/11? Why weren't you there as people are going in those towers saying, don't go in here. Two planes are going to fly into these buildings. They're going to come crashing down. Why didn't you tell anybody? Big liar. So
That position, I'm sorry to say that your position of all your dreams and visions has been filled already. I have a Bible. I don't need you. Then, after establishing the sure word of prophecy and that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, he then says in chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people. So he said, you've got us hearing God's voice, and now you have holy men of God speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now you have the Bible, but I'm telling you, there were false prophets among those people. Even now there are false teachers among you. Let me read it correctly. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily, see, you know what that means? Secretly. It means that they never show up on your door announcing what they plan to do to you. They never show up and just start in with their damnable heresies. They got to work into it. They got to twist the scriptures adequately enough so that they can feed you the lie and then you believe it. They never announce right away what their real objective is. It's like Duplantis here telling everybody that he needs a $54 million brand new jet so he can go and preach the gospel. That's not what he wants. He can ride in an airplane the same way I do and everybody else has to. So his jet is not for him preaching the gospel. His jet is so he can sit on there and drink champagne and wine and ride in comfort and be pampered and God knows what else he can do on his little private $54 million jet. That's what he really wants. He's not doing this for the gospel. Anybody believes that? You need to get back in your Bible again. But they privily shall bring in damnable heresies, meaning anybody who speaks them is damned, and anybody who believes them is condemned. Privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. I have no doubt whatsoever that he's going to get the money. I have no doubt. Because many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That means that they will speak against what Peter just admonished everybody to believe. And that is the written word of God. They will speak evil of the King James Bible. So you listen as these preachers nowadays, when the words King and James come up in the same sentence, immediately they go on the attack. Oh, you're one of those, huh? And so verse 3, here is Jesse, are you listening? Wake up, Jesse. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words, F-E-I-G-N-E-D, feigned words. That means deceitful, lying, purposely lying words. Through feigned words, make merchandise of you. You bought his plane for him. All you are to him is money. That's all you are to him. If he really cared about you, he would ride back in the coach with everybody else. Not first class. Business class. But he would ride in coach in the back of the plane with everybody else, like everybody else. You see,
the planes, they can all go to the same place. They can take off and land just about any runway that his little jet can go. So he can ride with everybody else, but he won't. He refuses. He's already got three jets, wants another one. And all you are to these people is a money source. I have admitted publicly, oftentimes, why back 20 some odd years ago, I was going to dumb down my sermons, as if they're not dumb enough already. I was going to dumb down my sermons. I was going to strip them of anything that would offend anybody. I was going to hire a rock and roll band. I was going to be a Rick Warren. I was going to be seeker sensitive, user friendly. And all of that because I wanted a bigger church. Not because I wanted more people to care for, but it's because a bigger church equals bigger money and I will get paid very well. That was my motivation. I have admitted that. I have been very honest about it, and God has whooped me severely over that. You have no idea how bad God got me. I was not sure. I was very unsure that I was going to live through it. That's how bad it was. God delivered me from making merchandise of people's souls. The gospel is not for sale. It's free, and it should always remain free, so that the people who believe it can be made free. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. You see, that's why I said what I said about Kenneth Hagin. He's damned. Damned. Damnation. Yes, that's a cuss word. I don't like saying it, but that's what the Bible says. That the heresies are damnable and their damnation slumbereth not. Hagin is getting it. Copeland is going to get it. Duplantis is going to get it. And everybody else that is like them is going to get it. Mark it down. But why are these people even allowed to do these things, to say these things? Why are they even allowed to breathe God's air? Surely God is not going, hey, I really like Jesse Duplantis. I mean, he's in fact, one time, now this is God speaking, one time I was feeling really down, and Jesse Duplantis said, come here, Lord Jesus, come and cry on my shoulder. I'll listen to you. Do you think I made that up? I mean, I could have. I didn't make that up. Duplantis himself said that he told Jesus to come cry on his shoulder because he understood what he's going through. What an idiot. What a damnable heretic he is. Why does God allow these guys to do what they do? Deuteronomy 13, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Let us go after other gods. Now, the God that Duplantis believes in is not the same God that you and I believe in. The God that Duplantis believes in, according to Hagin and Copeland and Duplantis and several others, they believe that our God wriggled in hell like a little worm, screaming, on fire, burning, and then was born again. That's not the same Jesus. The Jesus that I believe in did not suffer in hell. He preached in hell. But he didn't wriggle like a serpent or a worm down in hell in agony. He preached. It's a different Jesus. The Jesus I believe in would not ride in your $54 million jet. So they're talking about other gods. Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Now, this passage here is highly prophetic, because the fourth kingdom is the other gods, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the other gods, and there will arise false prophets and dreamers of dreams who will foretell of a time, and they will encourage everybody to go after these other gods that have been kicked out of heaven. And God said in verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You see, they're here for a reason. They're here to prove who is and who isn't. They and all of their kind. In Kenya, it's Dr. Owar. Mega, mega false prophet. Pervert. A pervert. A mega false prophet. A man who says God speaks directly to him. And remember, Peter said that job has already been filled because we have a more sure word of prophecy. You have a Bible. You don't need a man who says that God speaks directly to him. You don't need him. You don't have to listen to him. You don't have to obey him. He's not an apostle. He's not a prophet. He's not Jesus himself. He is a wolf. Oh! Like a sheep. And so, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness, be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that live that after should live ungodly, and delivering just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's where you and I are right now. We're vexed. We are vexed. We live in this world and we are trying desperately to not be a part of it. And it is difficult. The world tugs at us and pulls on our flesh and our fleshly instincts and our fleshly desires. And it lures us in, trying to get us out of the Word of God, trying to get us out of prayer, trying to get us away from fasting, trying to get us away from our testimony. We're like Lot, being just with the filthy conversation of this world that we live in. And it is filthy, people. It is depraved. My son told me, a man that he works with spoke of, and I won't say what business he's in, but he's in a home-based business, not Amway or anything like that, but he raises something that he sells. I'll put it that way. And my son told me, Dad, you remember that guy? Said, yeah. He's a swinger. Son, are you talking about what I think? He said, yeah. Him and his wife, they have swinger parties. Now, this has nothing to do with a playset for children. They wife swap. It's awful. And there are people like that all over the country. Depraved. Wicked. Adulterous. This is such an adulterous, fornicating world.
It is sickening what's out there, people. Come out of her and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And we're vexed with their unrighteous deeds. And it should always bother you. It should bother you to see flesh on a man or a woman. It should bother you the way people carry themselves around, the way people talk, the way people dress, their lives are full of adultery. And we're vexed living in this world. I there's days I want out so bad I can't stand it. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So verse 9, just remember, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know who the godly are? Psalm 32 gives a very accurate description of who godly people are. And it may not be what you think. I don't know what you think, so I can't say it. I can only say it may not be what you think. But here's how the Bible describes godly people. Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And notice the fourth one mentions their spirit. That's because the number four references the spiritual realm, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Ezekiel was called upon to prophesy to the four winds. So four things here in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 32. And then it says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. And we're living in a time where the rising floods of iniquity seek to overcome us and draw and devour us and destroy us. And we're like Peter. One minute we find ourselves walking on water. The next second we are drowning in the sea. And Christ is always there to lift us up and take us out. But that's who godly people are. So the Lord knoweth how, back in 2 Peter 2, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. In verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Duplantis. What does he want now? What does he want? A $54 million brand new jet. Why does he want it? His flesh. His flesh wants it. I mean, it's easy to see through that. It's not hard. It's not like, well, maybe he really does want to go preach the gospel. And this is the fastest, best way to do it. He's just being, you know, he's being a good steward, right? No. His flesh wants this. He wants the fulfillment of the lust of his flesh. Maybe he's not a womanizer. I don't know. Maybe he's not a fornicator or adulterer. I don't know. But what I know is that he's walking in the flesh of the lust of uncleanness. His body lusts after this new jet. Because wouldn't it be cool to ride around in this? And you know what these guys get caught doing? Copeland, Duplantis, all these others that have their private jets. You know what they do? They'll have it built into their itinerary. Well, we have to go to Australia. We got to go to Australia. We're going to Sydney. We're going to preach the gospel. Now, Once we're there in Sydney, we're going to fly our private jet out to Sydney. Now, on the way back, we've got a few days. Why don't we divert this plane instead of going right back to Dallas, Texas, or Louisiana? Maybe we could make a little stop in Cozumel, Cancun, the Bahamas. Ooh, the Caribbean islands. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they do. They got caught doing it. So much so, there was a government investigation and Congress got involved asking these guys, okay, yeah, you went to Sydney. Where'd you go after that? Did you go right back home? Well, you know, even the Lord took a little vacation every now and then. We just stopped on the way back. I mean, it was on the way back. We had to stop, right? Had to stop and get fuel, right? We just happened to land in Cancun. See right through it, people. The lust, they walk in after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. That's your sovereign citizens out there. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, verse 12 is very revealing. Very prophetic. These as natural brute beasts. The word brute means like beast nature. You know what that means? It means that they cannot be converted. It's simply put, they have such a depraved nature. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Meaning that they take this money and they do not feel guilty about it whatsoever. Not at all. Do they feel guilty about this? No way, no how. Their conscience is seared. They are natural brute beasts. They cannot be converted. You cannot sit down with them and say, now, brother Duplantis, I'm coming to you out of love. I would love to show you from the scriptures where you're wrong. Get away from me, son. You got no right to harass me. Don't bring that Bible stuff to me. They're not going to be converted. They are brute beasts. You cannot change the nature of dogs and chimps and goldfish and crocodiles and lions. You cannot. Their nature is their nature. It is hardwired into them. It is their genetic predisposition, and they are not convertible, not changeable in any way. If you feel that I'm being unchristian-like or unfair or unbiblical to them, I am reminding you that they are beasts made to be taken and destroyed. We cannot sit down and say, come now, let us reason together. They are not reasonable. They're brute beasts with a beast nature, like Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years. Beast nature on that man. Walk around eating grass. Fingernails growing out like claws, dreadlocks coming off of him looking like feathers. Nasty man running around naked out there in the back lot of the palace eating grass. Sniffing dogs and stuff like that. Stupid stuff. They're natural brute beasts. Take that same idea. And look at this. I'm telling you, this Bible's right. This Bible's dead. Turn to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Look at here. Guess who the false prophet is? Verse 11. And I beheld another beast. There's your false prophet right there. He's a beast. He's coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. He spake. You know what he says? Yea, hath God said? Ye shall not eat of every tree. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's how a dragon speaks. He draws people away from the authority of the written word of God. Causes them to believe that they don't have to come under the curse of God. Ye shall not surely die. Promising them that they'll be gods. That they will evolve. There will be a revolution, and they will evolve. They will become a higher form. They'll be Joel's army. They'll be genetically altered, genetically modified Christians, as it were. They speak as a dragon, but they are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Let me get back to there. There it is. Well, this Bible's old. Oh, look at, verse 12 again. These as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are in spots. Why? Because that's what leopards have. And leopards, they can't change their spots. Spotted means that they're disqualified from being among God's people, because we are to remain unspotted from the world. Do you know what that little thing is on the heads of Hindu women? It's a spot. It's called a bindi or a bindu. And it's a dot or a spot. It's a mark on their forehead. They are spotted. They are not right with God. They are not part of the saints. Because their spot is not as our spot. They are dotted. Amazon. Who is it? Is it Amazon? One of these companies, their little God assistant. You know, the thing that sits in your house and you talk to it. Hey, Amazon, we're out of Coca-Cola. So automatically, they're shipping you Coca-Cola. They call that the dot. The dot. And what that is, it's a precursor to the mark on the forehead. The dot, the spot, the bindu, the Ash Wednesday, where they put an X chromosome on your forehead. They mark your forehead, and now you're spotted. And you're to keep yourself unspotted, but they're spotted. Spots, let's see here. Verse 13 again. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Their own deceivings. You see, I think some of these guys actually believe the garbage that comes out of their mouth. I think some of them actually, now some of them just know they're lying. Like Peter Popoff got caught. I've mentioned this last week. Got caught by James Randi, a magician. Peter Popoff had an earpiece listening to his wife read prayer cards that people filled out. Why were you people so stupid? You filled out a prayer card, put your name, address, phone number, and your diseases on there, and then here's Popoff going, is it John? John Smith? John Smith from 1213 Walkaway Way? Cleveland, Ohio? John, you got diabetes? And they think it's from God, and they wrote it down. His wife is, so a PD, You better hear me or you're in trouble. His wife was reading it. And they captured the audio. She was sending it via radio waves to his earpiece. And he was pretending he was getting it from God. And people fell for that. And then when he was exposed on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, he files bankruptcy and he's back at it again, selling miracle spring water. Goofball idiot. And people fall for this stuff. They are sporting them. Now, he knows he's lying through his teeth. Popoff knows he is lying out his teeth. He knows it. He knows that junk water in that little packet, like a ketchup packet. He knows that there ain't nothing about that water. He knows it. But he's lying through his teeth. Some of these guys, though, just believe their own lies. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery. Yeah. That means, number one, they can't stop looking at porn. Number two, they can't stop looking at women that are at their crusades. And some of these women look back. I had, this is a story, you can believe it or not, but for a time, there was a man that came to our church. His wife had been hearing our radio program years ago, and she started coming and brought him. He was an organist, and he was a very good organist. He played one of these Hammond B3 organs with a Leslie speaker. And he was hired by a well-known, now dead, televangelist. Well-known. To play the organ for him at his tent crusades. This is a guy, this is a televangelist who believed, or he convinced people that he could raise people from the dead, that he could heal diseases, and that God wanted everybody wealthy, and if you just gave him your money, then God would give you that money back, plus a bunch more. And his testimony to me, it was not so much about the televangelist as it was the crowd that came. As this televangelist would have these big tent revivals, and literally in a tent, he would be playing that organ. He'd play it for a while there at the beginning, and then the musicians would all take a break. The drummer and the bass guitar, they would go down to the bar. This is what he told me. And he said that there would be women all in that big revival area looking at him. He would have notes passed to him with hotel room numbers from women. He admitted, he was telling me this in front of his wife. He finally got out. He said he couldn't take it anymore. He said the hypocrisy, the evil, he said he just couldn't take it anymore. And he left. He got out. I believe him. He had no reason to lie to me. I believe him about the notes and about the women and all that stuff. I believe it. They have eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. They can't stop. Beguiling unstable souls. They don't go after guys like me and you. They go after unstable souls, unstable people. People who they can tell them, not everything God does is in the Bible. Oh, wow, amen, praise the Lord. Then tell me what God wants us to know. Unstable souls. and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. See, they're not saved. They're cursed. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You go read that story of Balaam. It looks, it kind of looks like Balaam's the good guy, right? No, no, he's being paid well. And God keeps jumping ahead of him every step of the way. But Balaam is looking for that money. How do we know? Peter said so. Who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. Get ready, I'm going to read the Bible. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Balaam, you ain't doing right. These are wells without water. Clouds. You know what the Bible says? Clouds that are carried with a of course you know what the Bible says. I'm reading it to you. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now, here's what's interesting, is that Jude says that they, how does Peter say it? Peter says it as these are wells without water, clouds that are carried about. Jude, a companion to 2 Peter 2, says that they are... Let's see, raging waves of the sea. Okay, in verse 12 of Jude, clouds they are without water. You know what the book of Proverbs says? He who boasteth of a false gift is like a cloud without water, without rain. Does that sound familiar? Boasting of a false gift, and you have Kenneth Copeland and Rodney Howard Brown allegedly. And this is on tape, film. You could watch it on YouTube. Rodney Howard Brown and Kenneth Copeland talking to each other in tongues. Really? You believe that? You believe that these guys are speaking to each other in unknown tongues and they know what each other is saying? Do you really believe that they can do that? No, that's all a show. It's fake. And it's not of God. And we know that because it violates 1 Corinthians 14. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. And in this little tongues conversation, Copeland is speaking one, Rodney Howard Brown speaking another, and nobody's interpreting, and everybody's falling back laughing, and they're drunk. Drunk as skunks, they're drunk. They're boasting of false gifts, and they are wells, they're clouds without water. Boasting, I can speak, I can heal people. Marjo Gortner, kind of a funny name. Marjo Gortner, that's his real name. He was for a while, he was a Hollywood actor, a star wannabe. Marjo, when he was born, his mother named him after Mary and Joseph. Marjo. I'm not kidding you. That's why he was named Marjo Gortner. At a very young age, his mother had it in her mind that Marjo, that her son, her gifted gift of God son, that God had anointed him to preach and to save the whole world. And so Marjo's mother trained him on what to say, how to say it, gave him the phrases, gave him things that he memorized, gave him verses of scripture. And then she would take him all over the place and say, my little boy's called to preach and he's a child evangelist and he's going to save the world. And she would turn this little kid loose on his little pre-written script, claiming it was all from the Holy Ghost, a little blonde, curly-headed boy. Then he grew up. And he grew up and his mother didn't have a part in his life, but he's going around with a tent and an entourage, and he's going around pretending to speak in tongues, pretending to have the gifts of the Spirit, pretending to be able to heal people, to lay people out by making them slain in the Spirit. And a documentary film crew followed him around one year. You see, what he would do was he would go through all through the summertime circuit, having these tent revivals. He would work 6 months out of the year and then didn't have to work for the next 6 months because he accumulated a lot of money. And as this documentary film crew was following him around, he finally started talking to the camera and being honest about what he was doing. And he said, I know all the words to say. I know how to get people worked up. I know how to get them to believe that they can be healed and believe that they can be slain in the Spirit. And I can pretend to speak in tongues and I can say all the words and I can manipulate these people into giving me large sums of money. But he said, it's as phony as a $3 bill. He said, I'm sleeping with women right and left. I'm stealing their money. I'm drinking. I do this 6 months out of the year, and I drive around in a nice Corvette the rest 6 months of the year. See, he admitted. You look this up, Marjo Gortner. IMDb, Internet Movie Database, and you'll see the movies that he's been in. You'll see the TV shows that he starred in. Because once he came out as a fake, he just started making movies and appearing on 70s TV shows. I don't know where he is now, but that was him. And he admitted that he faked it. Every bit of it was a lie, and people believed it. People who should have known better, people who should have read their Bible, and at the first sign that this guy was a wolf in sheep's clothing, they should have got up and left and told everybody, this guy's a fake. Clouds, they're boasting of false gifts, and they are clouds with no rain. They look all nice and shiny and puffy and highly and lifted up. But there's nothing. And you know what the rain is? Deuteronomy 32. The rain, the clouds without rain, here's what that means. See, the Bible tells you everything. Bible tells you everything. Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord and describe ye greatness unto our God. The clouds without rain means they don't have the Bible. God won't let them use it. God will not let these people teach sound doctrine. So the words that they say, they may quote a little Bible verse every now and then, but the words they say are feigned words, and they're designed to make merchandise of all of these people. Even when they're caught, even when they admit that they're scamming people, all they gotta do is sit down for a year and come back, people will fall for it all again. Because the people who hear them are just as covetous as the people who speak. And they're following them on the promise that they're going to get rich. That's what they're doing. I seems like I read part of this last Tuesday. But I'm going to do it again. Why Jesus is no longer the only way for many American Christians. Michael Walrond Jr. of Harlem's 10,000-member First Corinthian Baptist Church landed an ideological blow on his own in traditional Christendom. Walrond, who was named, quote, one of the Lord's foot soldiers by Newsweek magazine, told his congregants that the belief that anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus is going to hell is, quote, insanity. He says there was a time when you would see people in the pulpit say, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. He said that's insanity in many ways because that is not what Jesus even believes. He said in a viral clip posted on Facebook. See, his Jesus and my Jesus are not the same Jesus. They're not the same. His Jesus is another Jesus mentioned by Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. Another Jesus will be accompanied by another spirit and another gospel. The article says, people take many paths to God, he argued, noting that he personally celebrates the paths others take in finding him, even if that path does not involve faith in Jesus. He said, and so the key is you believe in God, and whatever your path is to God, I celebrate that. Personally, I celebrate that, Walrond said. The New York City preacher's message drew criticism in traditional Christian circles, and of course, God said, I never said that. Let's see here. Bishop Robert E. Smith, founder of Total Outreach for Christ Ministry, says, quote, the preacher on this video is both right and wrong. He's right in that all roads do lead to God, but this God is both love and a consuming fire. If you meet him on the Christ road of his love, you live. But any other road, be it religion, philosophy, or miscalculation of the person of Christ, the lake of fire is waiting. Bishop Robert E. Smith, founder of Total Outreach for Christ Ministries. Now, that's a confusing statement. It's confusing. Maybe I need to read it again, but I don't get it. I think you need to stay as far away from what Walrond said as east is from west and get away from it and keep moving. Not tell people that there's many ways to God or many ways to heaven, many ways to eternal life. That's a trap. It's a setup. Let's see here. Turn your Bible. Here we go. Get out your King James, people. Romans chapter 1, Deuteronomy chapter... Let me read Deuteronomy 4 to you. Then I'll read this article. Let's see here. Boy, this is good. Let's see. Where is it? Yeah. Here we go. Deuteronomy 4. Verse 1, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Now you read this and you can see the dual nature of the two covenants. God is saying to Israel, keep my law and I'll give you Canaan land. To us, he says, keep my covenant, keep my word, I'll give you heaven. I'll give you the land which I promised you. And he said, verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Now that's an interesting phrase or an interesting statement that matches Revelation 22. You have in God's covenant with Israel an addendum, I guess, or a part of the overall covenant that says any additions or detractions or subtractions from this covenant will render the covenant null and void. In other words, here's my law. I give it to you. If you keep it, you come to live in the land. If you add anything to it, or if you take anything from it, this covenant will be null and void. You will not get that land. I will cast you out. So, Joe Smith comes along, Book of Mormon, right? And then, of course, Jesus says the same thing in Revelation 22. If any man shall add unto the words of the prophecy of this book, I will add unto the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, I will take away his name out of the book of life. It's very easy to understand that. You don't add to God's word. You don't take anything from it. You don't. I was watching videos today on CRISPR DNA editing, learning the words, nuclease. Nuclease is what actually cuts, like scissors. Nuclease is an enzyme that CRISPR uses to cut the DNA. Cut it at two ends, one here, one here. Let's take out what we don't like. That's nuclease. I'm learning these words here. I'm trying to understand it better so I can teach it. I teach it from the Word of God. But essentially, the Vatican, who holds a document called Vaticanus. And the Vaticanus, somebody took scissors and cut out verses, sections of verses, passages, names, certain words that they didn't like. Like, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Snip, 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 snip. Took it out. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Snip, 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 snip. Took it out. If you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Snip, 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 snip. Take it out. God was manifest in the flesh. He appeared in a body. Snip, snip. You took out God. Theos. Took it out. So when that happens, when you diminish aught or take words out that you don't like or you don't... The best and most ancient manuscripts do not include Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. Snip, 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 snip. Take it out. What happens then is that you are immediately disqualified from going to heaven. Period. You're not going. You cut out, you diminished aught, you took away from the words of the prophecy of the book. You took them out. You're not going to heaven. Or you added to it. You took stuff out, put stuff in, however you wanted to do it. God said, don't do it. And then, same chapter, Deuteronomy 4, God said in verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air. Think about that. Because angels, some angels, have wings. The four cherubs that Ezekiel saw have wings. The seraphim that Isaiah saw, they had wings. So, in the parable of the seed and the sower, when Jesus said the fowl of the air came and devoured the seed, he then explained Satan, who the Bible mentions fiery flying serpents, winged dragons, his wings. He is like he is described as the fowl of the air. He flies, the prince of the power of the air. He is able, like a hawk, to just float in the air with his wings. You make that image, that picture of Justin Bieber. You do a Google image search of this, Justin Bieber being lowered down onto the stage, and they built wings for him made out of musical instruments. Well, that's Ezekiel 28 in, let's see, Ezekiel 28, talking about the anointed cherub that covereth. The Bible says in verse 13, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Lucifer, the devil, the dragon, he has musical instruments built into his body. So here's Bieber in concert being lowered down, obviously on cables, right? Because you can't watch it on satellite. Lowered down on cables with these wings made out of musical instruments. He's Lucifer, the light bearer, the Satan transformed into an angel of light. Romans chapter 1. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Here's where I'm going with this. Law enforcement agencies turning to drones to fight crime in Holy Toledo, Ohio. No longer a novelty, drones are becoming an everyday tool for more police and fire departments, new research has found. The number of public safety agencies with drones has more than doubled since the end of 2016, according to the data collected by the Center for the Study of the Drone at New York's Bard College. Who funds a whole wing of research to study drones? Who funds that? The center estimated that just over 900 police, sheriff, fire, and emergency agencies now have drones, with Texas, California, and Wisconsin leading the way, the study showed. While many law enforcement drone units are just getting started and are in place in just a fraction of the public safety agencies around the country, police and fire departments are continuing to find new uses for the remote-controlled aircraft. Now, think about advancements. Think future here. Drones controlled by human. Humans got the little joysticks. The human controls their flight. Whatever it is they do, the humans control it. But we're not going to stop there. What we're going to do is we're going to build of winged fowls. We're going to build armies of drones linked to AI. And the AI God is going to control his flying gods so that they cover the earth. And his drones, his flying gods, his winged fowl creatures, they're going to be in swarms. They're going to send all of their data back to the AI God. Listen, this is not some crazy science fiction thing that I read the other day. This is reality. Gods flying over, man-made gods flying over, watching over us, protecting us, watching what we do with facial recognition, monitoring where everybody goes, knowing, hey, listen here, China I'm going to add to this. China is mining data. You know what data mining is? It's just like guys going into the ground, pulling out coal or iron or copper or anything like that out of the ground. My son works at a lime mine just south of here. There is 100 years, they say, worth of lime, and it's down by the Mississippi River, and they mine the lime out of the ground, and they run it through the kiln, and they ship it out. It's right next to the Mississippi River, so they ship it, and it goes all over the world. Big, big outfit down there. He works down there, makes pretty good money. Not a bad job. He works odd hours, and that's killing him, but he's making a good living for his family. I'm proud of him. But that data mining is just collecting and pulling data in from all these sources and then sorting through it. And AI then is able to learn. AI, the AI God is able to know everything about every human being. And you say, well, they don't follow us around, do they? You got a cell phone, right? It's nearly attached to your hip. You never go anywhere without it, and it's collecting data on you non-stop. But it's going further now. China's mining data directly from workers' brains, using mind-reading hats to spot emotional and depressed employees. Now, you need to understand, China is still a working communistic government. Communism means that the only good in the world is the collective good. Individuality is not something that is of an interest to a collective communal system. In fact, individual freedom, individual liberty, individualism itself is an enemy of the state. Because the state, the only good is the collective good. If one person eats, we must all eat, or none of us eats. You will hear the 21st century pastors talk about community. Don't we enjoy our community? This is great for community. When I got electrocuted, they flew me in a chopper up to St. John's Mercy Hospital. They have a burn unit there. That's where they take everybody that gets electrocuted. So they took me there, and the chaplain, a female. Now, I got to say, she was exhibiting good neighborship. Because when they flew me up to that hospital and laid me there in that ER room, they had already cut off all of my clothing. And the doctors came in and said, you can go home. And my wife said, no, he can't. He don't have any clothes. They took them all off. So the chaplain went to the gift shop and with her own money bought me a T-shirt and a pair of sweatpants so that I could go home with clothes on. So bless her heart for that. But she asked me the story about how I got electrocuted, and I told her that I had talked to God, and I told God I did not want to leave my wife and children, and it let go just like that. And she said, oh, that is such a blessed story. What a great opportunity for community. And I'm going, what you say? Let me explain what that is. The community basically says none of us can be blessed if all of us are not blessed. If all of us can't be saved, then none of us can be saved. If God is going to give to one, he must give to all. That's community. That's communism or communitarianism. It's the same idea. It's the and so China is like the god of communism. They still have functional communism going on. And if you're not, as a worker, if you're not spilling out 100% efficiency, well, then we're going to get to the bottom of this, because then if you are not producing, then all of us are not producing, and we can't have that. So, they are only interested in the well-being of the worker, because if he's not doing well, he's not benefiting the community. And we can't have that. The technology works by placing wireless sensors in workers' hats or caps that, when combined with artificial intelligence, can spot workplace rage, anxiety, or depression. Employers use this emotional surveillance technology, EST, to boost productivity and profits by tweaking workflows, including employee placement and break lengths. Not making it up. Can't make this stuff up. So it's going on in China, and you think, well, that's China. I'm going to ask you the question, how close do you think we are in America to being a default, de facto socialist country? How close do you think we are to the reality of large companies and corporations? Actually, when it comes to these large companies and government, you're not dealing with communism so much as you're dealing with fascism. Fascism is the joining together of totalitarian government with big business working together. And that is very, very close to what we have here in America. But here's what I'm getting at with these drones and this AI technology. We are building gods that are going to hover over us, monitoring everything we do, receiving data constantly from people, from AI controlling the drones. Romans chapter 1. And who's building this? We are. We want this technology. We need this technology. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Darkened by Ephesians 2. Notice I'm not putting verses up on the screen for you. That means get out your own Bible. Lazy thing, you. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Me and my father-in-law, Brother Sterling, who is our deacon and our chief elder in our church, wise man. Very, very wise man. He's one of these guys, sixth grade education. That's it. And then he went to work. He went to work. 13, 14 years old, he went to work. And that's all that man. But he is a, when it comes to putting things together, taking things apart, fixing it, putting it back together again, when it comes to designing his own tools, the guy's a genius. Had he had an education, he could have gone on to be an architect or an engineer, because he's done. He's made a very comfortable life for himself with a sixth grade education. If there's anybody that I personally know that epitomizes what America and the opportunities of America really are about, it's not about a socialistic environment where everybody has to be equal and make the same amount of money, even if they don't do the work. It's the guys, the sort of, I guess, the baby boomer generation, maybe in around that area before and after, that grew up in poverty and worked hard and worked smart and made a comfortable life for themselves. That's what really epitomizes the opportunities that America has when you give people individual liberty and individual freedom and then let them work their own way up. Most of them will do very well for themselves. They don't want or need any government assistance. That's the way it should be. For those who can make it for themselves, they should make it for themselves. Where was I going with that? But anyway, oh, I was describing my father-in-law, and I took a left turn here, but we're back on track. We were watching a hawk yesterday about, I don't know how high, maybe 75, 100 feet up in the air. Never even flapping a wing. Just riding the drafts, riding the currents. Just as easy as he could. Hawks and eagles, they kind of are the prince of the power of the air. They just effortlessly ride that air, ride that wind. But the prince of the power of the air is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. All you have, I've said this repeatedly, all you have to do to be in the Illuminati is be lost. That's all that, that's the only requirement, is be lost and be under the control of the principality, the prince of the power of the air. Being a child of disobedience, you don't believe the Bible, you don't care about the Bible, you're not going to obey the Bible. That Bible's nothing to you. And so while you claim that you are free and living your life absent any religion or dogma telling you what to do. You see, I've been studying a group of people here lately. They are known as sovereign citizens. They believe that no government has any authority over them whatsoever. Now, remember what I just read in 2 Peter about the false teachers of the world that we live in? You remember what I read? 2 Peter 3, chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, Jude uses, I think, a similar tone in Jude 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Dignities is, it's not, well, I have personal dignity. It's someone who has a high office. They despise dominion. They believe, they call themselves sovereign citizens, and they believe that nobody has any authority. They say, we only follow God, but they don't. They don't follow God. They don't do what God says. They despise all forms of it, and they actually declare themselves that they have this screwed up vision of how the law works. And they say that because they're sovereigns, no government has authority over them whatsoever. And it never works. They end up in court, and their ideologies never work, ever. So I've been studying these people because I had an encounter with a man that came to our church for maybe a few weeks. And he told me, our nation is under the still under the Queen of England. It's under Admiralty authority jurisdiction, and the courts and the governments, they're all corrupt, and we're not under the Constitution anymore, and I didn't understand where he was coming from for a while, but now I get it. He was a sovereign citizen, believing that no one had authority over him. And listen, I know you think, and I agree, that there are areas of government in our country, in local government, federal government, that are as corrupt as Babylon itself, and I get that. But to just say that nobody has authority over you, you're not saying what God says in His Word. You're not saying that. And I'm not going to deal with that issue today. I am going to deal with it in the future, and I'm going to give you scripture. But folks, God ordains earthly authority and dominion over people. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not. If you're doing 85 and a 65 and a cop pulls you over, He's got the authority to do it. And His personal morality has nothing to do with whether He's a better man than you or not, has nothing to do with His authority to write you a court summons and say, I say that you're speeding, you're doing 20 miles over the speed limit, and you got to pay a fine for that. It's very simple. But they despise all forms of dominion. Thus, they say that they're free and that no one has dominion over them. But the truth of it is, the prince of the power of the air is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. They think they're free, and they promise you liberty. But they themselves, the Bible says, are the servants of corruption. They themselves serve. One of my favorite shows is Live PD on A&E. And they'll pull over some of these sovereign citizens every now and then. And these sovereign citizens will jump out of their car and they'll say, you don't have any authority over me. I'm not driving. I'm traveling. I'm not driving. I'm not operating a motor vehicle. I'm traveling. And the Constitution says I have a right to travel. No, you can't search my car. You have no authority over my car. Then they find out that he's got a bag of marijuana in there. He doesn't want authority over him because what he wants to do is sin and get away with it. He's a servant of corruption, a child of disobedience, and he's being controlled by the prince of the power of the air. They think they're free, but they're not. They themselves are the servants of corruption. Now back to Romans, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's the prince of the power of the air, darkening their minds. And bong resin. Bong resin will darken your mind too. Professing themselves wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Now, you know what I'm going to say. Not only is God uncorruptible, but God also is uncorruptible. What do you mean? The Word was God. And the Word is uncorruptible. And so they take the uncorruptible God, this, and they change its glory into the image made like to, number one, corruptible man. Is man corruptible? From the moment he's born, he's corrupt. From the moment we are born, from the moment we began interacting with other people in this world, we are corrupt. We disobey, and then we lie, cheat, and steal, and cover up so that we don't get caught, so that we don't get in trouble, so that we don't have to face the consequences of our actions. That's who we are. That's what's in our heart, people. And when you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, working against that nature, you're gonna fall for the beast, man. You're fallen. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds. And four-footed beasts. That was the calf that they made in the base of Mount Sinai. A four-footed beast. Why four? Think of the fourth kingdom. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So the birds that they changed, we're creating now AI drones. We're creating flying gods. Flying gods to watch over us, to watch everything that we do, to monitor our activities, to monitor even what's going on in our brains. We're creating that right now in this world. Because man thinks that the God that he makes will be better than the God that made us. That's what man thinks. Else man would serve the God that created us, but he refuses. So he creates a God to think like humans think. To think like corruptible people think. Only have the brain capacity or the thinking capacity of a God, knowing everything, knowing everybody, knowing what they do, how they think, and then not just knowing it, because knowledge is power, controlling every human being. This then brings us to, I've been criticized on this, I'm getting used to it, 2 Thessalonians 2. The man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Four times there. Four times. That's your fourth kingdom right there. This man of sin exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. All that is called God includes your Bible. He exalts himself above the Bible, lifts himself up above it, thinks that, and this could be a lot of preachers that you know, who exalt themselves above the Bible. Correct the Bible. Oh, the Bible's wrong here. The Bible's wrong. Preachers being like little CRISPR And I'm going to share this with you. Here's a little theory of mine. Came to me by one of our watchers who kind of thinks like I do. The CRISPR editing system is based upon what a bacteria does. And the CRISPR gene editing system is bacteriological based. It is a creeping thing. Bacteria are creeping things. That's what they are. They creep around, little phalanges sticking out, and they creep from here to there. That's how they move. They are creeping things. And these creeping things are the ones going in to the human DNA, the human genome, finding something that they've been programmed to cut out, take it out, either stitch it back together or replace it with something else. They're taking words out of God's book of prophecy, which is DNA, and then adding something in to replace it. And what this amounts to is now the body, which is supposed to be, this is what I'm getting at in 2 Thessalonians, he is God sitteth in the temple of God, the only temple of God that I'm aware of is the human body. Search the phrase temple of God. King James Bible, 9 times. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not, this is the 46th book of the Bible. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God. The next verse, if any man defile the temple of God, he just told you what the temple of God was. If any man defile the temple of God, God shall destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So we're creating the flying creatures, the flying gods that are going to control and monitor like leopards every man and woman and child on the earth. Simultaneously, we are creating the creeping thing. And oh, there's a verse. Creeping thing. Where is it? Leviticus 11:43. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth. Neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, why did God say that way? It's because the bacteria that does the gene editing is a creeping thing, and nobody in Moses' day even knew that bacteria even existed. They didn't figure this out until the 1800s. Creeping. God said, you should not make yourselves abominable with abominable. It's easy for you to say. With any manner, neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And here we have the creeping things that we've hired now to be our servants, to go in to the human Bible, to the temple of God, and change the temple of God from being the God or the temple that God himself built to being a temple made with the hands of man. Kind of creeps you out, doesn't it? That's a little pun on words. Are we living in days of Bible prophecy fulfillment? Yep. No doubt in my mind about it. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. And I don't need a day and an hour. I don't need to know what year it's going to happen in. I don't need to know any of that stuff to know that we are marching into, we're in 2018. Human trials have already been started where they are gene editing people. What are we going to call this new species that we made, that we created? I'm studying in along with this the tools of Freemasonry. The tools of Freemasonry, I think, are linked to gene editing. And as I develop this idea, I'll share more with you, either on Pastor Mike Online or Watchman Video Broadcast. So be watching for that, all right? Tomorrow's my birthday. I'll be 52 tomorrow. Glad to be 52. Not ashamed at all. Glad to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the Lord, and to be able to share that with everybody. You're the reason why we do what we do. God bless you. I love you. Think Bible.